Just a little background for those who don't know about the Sefer Sefsechein. Firstly, we have different editions. Yours look a lot thicker than mine. Even yours thicker than mine. I might need to get an updated version.
I just got this Sunday.
So oh, yes, Matt.
I know. Column, this one's like 50 pages.
Okay.
But I think it went from this to the one we have.
Okay, so I need to get this one. Maybe I'll get this one today. So I'll have to get updated versions then. So I'm not sure if today we're going to have some different text or not. But the basic background of the Sefer Sefsechein was written by a great individual, Rabbi Krauss. I believe he was a chef, and he was a nister, and he wrote the Sefer. Now the way it works is in the center, there's the text, that's the main text, that's Rabbi Krauss. On the side, Rav Mendelovich, we met a year ago, the current Rosh Kollel, he brought in different svarim from Sefer Chassidus and Sefer Kabbalah to add things that connect to topics being discussed. So the topic of Sefsechein, of Hagdamas HaChassidus, is the Hishtalshlus, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It's a very deep, philosophical, Kabbalistic understanding of how the world was created. It's very abstract, which makes it difficult and challenging, but when we go through this, one takes patience of going through, so there's going to be a lot of reward because you're going to understand the background of many areas of Chassidus. So it's when I was a math major, so people always told me I was good at math, I should be a math major, but no one ever told me when you get to a certain level, you're in a world where there are no numbers anymore. You can imagine math without numbers isn't math, but it is math. We learned all the theory behind and proofs and disproofs and theories, so I did not enjoy that part at all. It's hard, but it was necessary to really understand the backbone of how math works. So this is the backbone of how we know Sefer Chassidus works, or it could be Sefer Kabbalah. It's not that Kabbalistic, but it's the very backbone. And you look at any Sefer and Chassidus, and those who go through the Hakdama, they all have different versions of this, of how the Hashem created the world, how he removed himself, he was mitzam to himself, he opened a cavity, he allowed space for people to move in, and we have to just go through this slowly. It's a bit slow and, I don't want to say dry, but it's not as exciting as other types of shirim, but it's a very necessary limud to go through. So I'm going to focus on the center text, but on this time to time I'll go to the side a little bit to fill in some gaps, because it's not always that nogea to what's going on. So let's take it, let's begin. So again, just keep in mind, it's a slow limud, and it takes time and patience to really appreciate what's going on. I'm not going to read through the Hakdama. It's a beautiful Hakdama of how important it is to learn Sifrei Chassidus. I assume everyone who's here now understands that. It's still a very nice limud anyways, but I'm not going to go through the Hakdama. I want to go right into the crux of the Sefer. So those who don't have it and want to join, we should buy. I'm going to buy my own. This one's the newest one, it seems. It's much thicker than mine. I'm going to buy the latest Sefsechein. But hopefully we'll make it through together, at least today's Hakdama Aleph. I hope we're somewhat on the same page. Okay, so let's begin right now. Hakdama Aleph. Hakdama Aleph is...
We can make a copy, no?
Okay. So Hakdama Aleph, I'm also going to stop with ample time to prepare for the 6:20 minyan. So it begins as follows: Hakdama Aleph, the first Hakdama. Everything in Chassidus and Kabbalah is always Hakdamas, Hakdamas, Hakdamas. So this is the first Hakdama. It's called Tzimtzum HaRishon or HaMakif. Some of these terms also, when you're learning any subject, is it already different?
Yeah. What is your start?
Yeah, also Tzimtzum HaRishon or HaMakif.
Yeah, so maybe we can make, actually, too many pages to make copies. Let's see what we could do, I guess.
It seemed that the main text would probably be the same.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. That's true, because he didn't change.
Right. I was thinking of the main text. Sure. I remember the words from the bigger text. That's
okay. So also, some of these terms, when you're learning, a new subject, let's say you're learning finance, so a lot of terms that you may not have, like present value, future value, so you don't know what those words mean, but it takes time after you understand the concepts. So these are concepts, or makif, which we may have seen in other places, but we never really understood what or makif was. So we're going to learn some of these terms, and it takes time, again, to appreciate what they all mean. You're welcome to join if you like. Yeah. So you don't have to. That was not a form pressure.
It's only 6:15 for the other minion.
So, whatever you want. I'll explain afterwards what it is if you didn't see the email about this. Everyone was invited. Okay, so to begin as follows, Haschalas Habriyah, the beginning of creation, which sounds like a pretty neat topic, right? Tzimtzum HaRishon or HaMakif. Let me wait for Aaron. Also important reference here. You see this first page? It's page Pei. It has very important Rosh HaTevos here. Like Aleph, Aleph is Erech Anpin, Aleph Samech is Ein Sof, Ak they call it is Adam Kabon. These are different things we're going to learn. I don't expect any of us to know them, but these are Rosh HaTevos, which will be very helpful. If you're learning other Svarim, you don't know what they are, this is a nice little important source of Rosh HaTevos to understand what they are referring to. So let's begin the Hakdam Aleph. Let's see how far we get. Hakdam Aleph, again, is Haschalas Abriya, the beginning of the creation. Tzimtzum HaRishon or HaMakiv. It's called Hashem Tzimtzum, which is Hashem shrinking himself. And or HaMakiv is referring to some light or energy which surrounds this area. So we'll explain. Bo Yisbar, in this section, we're going to explain Inyan HaTzimtzum HaRishon, what it means that Hashem shrunk himself. Shehayisa Terem HaBriya, that existed prior to creation of the world, he had to shrink himself. Litzarech Kiyim HaOlamos, in order to establish the world. V'inyan or HaMakiv, in regards to the surrounding light, Sevivos HaChalal, that's around the empty cavity. V'hirshimu HaNishar B'soch HaChalal, and the light that was left after the Tzimtzum. So this doesn't really mean much to us. Let's learn through what he's explaining. Kishe'ola B'ritzon HaPashit, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a Ratzon, he had a desire. Livro HaOlam, he had a desire to create the world. Kedei LaShibia, in order to give forth mituva lebruav, HaKadosh Baruch had a certain cheshek, he had a certain desire, they wanted to create the world. So a lot of what we're going to see on the side here is pretty much explaining what we read here is not reality. I mean, when we're going to see HaKadosh Baruch who shrunk himself, Hashem doesn't shrink himself. Hashem, these things that we're seeing are just ways for us to understand in our limited way what was going on, but not really what went on. So take a look. First, the number Os Aleph, footnote Aleph, the first page. Inyan HaTzimtzum, the idea of Hashem shrinking himself, Eavshar LaHasig Al Borya, we can't really understand what it means Hashem shrinks himself. He's infinite. Something infinite, a being infinite, can't become finite. So that itself is not something we could fully comprehend. Maran HaRizal, that Rizal, Besifro Eitzachayim, he's a sefer called Eitzachayim, Kasav, he writes, that Inyan HaTzimtzum HaZeh, this idea of Hashem shrinking himself, Muhuso in its essence, Ehu ve'echaya, how it was, what happened, Ein shembriya yichol lahasig lahavin darazen. No one really, no human individual could really understand what's going on. V'lo litzayir b'machshav, you can't try to create images in your mind what took place. Yon deles machshav atfisa, there's no mind that could be tofes, that could cling to such a concept, be'or ain't of klal. We don't understand what infinite. The number infinite, we know it's endless. We know it goes on for up. But we can't really appreciate what infinite means. You could think of even the number a billion, a guy with $1 billion, we don't understand what $1 billion mean, let alone something that's infinite. Now imagine a billion times a billion, we can't comprehend that. Certainly not something that's ain't sof. Ain't sof means there's no end. We refer, in the way the Svarim refer to Hashem is ain't sof, or Ein Sof, there's a certain energy that has no end to it, just goes on and on and on, because Hashem is infinite. This is, in other words, it's saying infinite. We can't understand infinite. Ki eino musag v'nitvas b'shum machshava v'tzir. Infinite can't be comprehended in any human machshava. Vein anachni yuchal nadaber bo'klum. We can't even speak of what infinite means, what Hashem, the being, means. Uma sh'anachnu maskirin b'dvareinu l'shum tzimtzum. That which we say Hashem shrinks himself, hakol hu l'shachech es ha'ozen, it's simply to help our ear, help us understand in a very limited way what it means. But it's not really what's going on. So much of what we're seeing here is just a way for us to appreciate it, but not reality. A lot of what we're going to see also is oftentimes there are stiras, the contradictions between different pieces in the Arizal. And one of the main ways to explain the differences is our perspective versus Hashem's perspective. And that's one of the, there are several ways how to answer questions. You know, we have ways to answer questions in halacha. So there are certain methods. So there are a number of methods when it comes to Sifrei Kabbalah. One is our perspective versus Hashem's perspective. One way is looking from the outside versus looking from the inside. There are a few different methods we're going to go through. All of this is going from our perspective, what we could comprehend of what took place, even though it really did not take place. Second piece is, look at Oz Beis now. He wrote in the Hakdama here that Hashem had a ratzon. He wanted to create the world. So he explains here, Lama nikra ratzon pasha. Why is it called a simple desire Hashem to create the world? Hatam shebechol asvam hakadoshim. In all the different holy books that we have, u'bifrat in particular, b'kisvei Maran HaRizal, maschilim b'lashon halaz, kisha alu b'ritzon ha'pashit livro olamo. They all speak of this word of ritzon ha'pashit, Hashem's simple ratzon to create the world. So what does that mean, Hashem's ratzon ha'pashit, his desire to create the world? So Kasab HaBnei Saschar, the B'nei Saschar writes, the B'riyas HaOlam Hayah B'Ratzon. Hashem created the world in Ratzon. Ki ein zechas v'sham ke'uman she'pol pulaso la'ashim chesrona. When a guy is, making a shoe, he makes a shoe because he's missing a shoe. He needs to wear shoes, so he makes himself a shoe. A guy builds a house because he needs to build himself a house. Usually you buy something, you build something, you create something because you're lacking something. Hashem doesn't lack anything. So if he doesn't lack anything, why is he creating something? He doesn't need a world if he doesn't need a world. So he explains, Kihu yisbarach shemo shalem b'tachlis hashlemos. Hashem is completely whole. There's nothing that Hashem lacks. So why do you have a ratzon to create the world? So he explains, and those who learn Derech Hashem, the Ramchal's Derech Hashem, the beginning is all about this concept. I know I learned Derech Hashem before knowing there was a world of that the Ramchal was really Mekubal. Derech Hashem is all Kabbalah, as is Messiah Yesharim. Messiah Yesharim is brilliant because any of us could read it and have learned it, and it's a sefer on Musar, but in fact it's laced with Kabbalah. Derech Hashem is a level up where it's clear, it's deeper than that, but you're not really sure that he's discussing Kabbalah that much, but it's all the Svarim of the Ramchal, no matter how understandable it may or may not be, is all Kabbalah. So at the beginning of Derech Hashem, he discusses this concept, why does Hashem create the world if he doesn't need the world? And that's what he writes in this one line here. Rak shebara olamo biraton lehativ libriv. Not because he needs it, because he wants to. And the way it's explained in the Derech Hashem by the Ramchal is, if something is good, if Hashem is good and complete and whole, how do you become a great person? Well, if you're living by yourself on an island, well, then you're lacking the ability to do chesed to other people. You might be a wonderful person, you do the right thing, but there's no one for you to help out. So if Hashem is really shalem, Hashem is really kulo tov, so you can only be kulo tov if there's someone to receive his greatness. So we have to create a recipient, a world of people to continue to give his chesed. And that's in essence what the Derech Hashem writes as to why Hashem created the world. We're discussing how he created the world. So go back inside the main text now. We know Hashem had a ratzon because he wanted to be all, because he is good, he wanted to create the world. And we're back inside now, we're at the words, Lo haya shum avir. There is no airspace or makom panoi. There's no available space, livro habesocho, shum davar. Hashem is infinite, so you have a container of water. It's full to the top. So there's no room for anything else to live there because all the oxygen is taken by the water. So Hashem was in the entire world. It's endless. There are no boundaries to it. So there's no place for anything like us to be here. So what happened? Ki chol hametzias, the whole being, the whole existence of Hashem, haya memula me'or Hashem, hagadol hanara. The whole world was full of Hashem's greatness, his powerfulness, his awe was completely filling up the whole world. Now the word awe that we're going to use, it doesn't really mean light. Perhaps you want to think it means energy equals MC squared. Hashem's not energy either. Energy happens to be a very nice way to understand what's going on. Sunlight is also a nice way to understand how things are going on, but it's not light. It's not energy. It's Hashem. So, but this is a way for us to understand what's going on. But sun, it seems to be the best way that the Chabad Svarim explain that the sunlight, the sun rays, is the way Hashem comes into this world. Because the sun's always there, it always exists, but sometimes there are clouds, and sometimes things are blocking it. We're going to see shortly that the Tzimtzum, Hashem is always there, but sometimes there are things blocking the sun rays from pouring out. There's shades that are blocking it. So it's just a good image, but of course it's not really or. Energy might also be a nice way to explain this. So the world was full of Hashem's existence, which is Hanikra or Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Turning the page now. Hashem is a light that lacks any end, which means it's Hashem's an infinite being as we know. V'ha'or, the light, haya chazak kol kach, it was such a powerful light, ad shehaya bilti efshar livro ba'klum, to the point where it was impossible for anything else to live. And we know, like on Mars, for example, nothing can live on Mars, to our understanding at least. because it's too close to the sun. It gets burnt. And certainly if you get even closer to the sun, so nothing could live. It gets burnt right away. So if you imagine the whole world was the sun, Hashem was the sun, nothing could exist in the presence of the sun. Livro baklum afilu malachim v'srafim. The angels couldn't even exist in the presence of Hashem. Malachim and Seraphim are different types of angels. Ofanim, I don't know if he discusses the different angels, but that's a whole other world, how angels work. Ki haya mechala v'saraf hakol. The energy, Hashem's existence, will just burn anything. Al-Kain, for that reason, hutrach lasas makum panoi b'chadei livro shama ha'olamah. So Hashem had to make an area available. He had to remove some of the water from the jar, if you will, to give some void, create a void, so something could exist. He had to pull himself back a little bit, separate himself. So now we're going to go through how exactly did that happen, at least according to our understanding of things, at least to our comprehension. Heyach asazos. How in the world did Hashem create this vacuum? So he says, tzimtzem v'siluk. He shrunk himself, he removed himself, kivyachol, not in reality, but kivyachol in our understanding, min ha'ora ha'gadol ha'nora, litzdadim. He pushed aside his light over to the side, he blocked it off to the side, was able to create some vacuum of emptiness in the center. V'hishir b'emso, and then he left the empty area in the center. That's what was going on here. Now there's a big machlokas, which we're not discussing, how tzimtzum works. There is a school of thought that Hashem really shrunk himself. He's really mitzamtzim himself. But the mainstream understanding is Hashem just hid himself. He was there. Even in that vacuum that we're discussing, Hashem was in every place. He's everywhere. It's just he hid himself in a deep... We don't know where he hid himself. We can't understand that there's another matrix here to speak of. If we see like a 3D box here, right? And Hashem's not here, where is he hiding himself? He can't like... He's somewhere hidden in something, in everything that we can't see. But he's there. It's just he didn't remove himself. He just hid himself. He covered himself up. He became invisible. That's what it meant. So this area, if you have any questions, by the way, feel free to ask. Now this area, this vacuum, this cavity, was a makom chalul, empty, panoi bibichinas eagle. It was a circle. It was really not a circle. It was really a ball. It was a ball. It was a 3D image. Not a, on paper, you just draw a circle like that. But in reality, it was really a ball, like the globe, like the earth. So it was an empty round ball that Hashem removed himself. And explained in the Sfarim why it had to be round, why couldn't it be a box, why couldn't it be a triangle. And because the idea is because everything by Hashem is equal, so when everything is equidistant, when there's a round, when there's a ball, everything is equidistant. No matter where you are, they're exactly the same distance from the nucleus, the core. No matter where you are on that globe outside, you're connected to Hashem, everything is done perfectly, and that's the main reason why it was done as a round, as a globe of some sort. Inside this empty area, this vacuum now that Hashem just created, nishtalshalu means like a chain. There were this chain reactions. Hashem created the world as we're going to go through, that things were built one on top of the next. But he availed himself, he availed the space to have an area to create that was very, very fertile to create something. V'nivru kol ha'olamos elyonim, he created all the worlds that are above, v'tachtonim, the worlds that are below. We're going to go to all the details of what the names of the worlds are. V'chol ha'malachim, v'tzrafim, v'ofanim, all the different levels of angels. V'chol ha'bruim kulam, mikatan v'agadol. From top to bottom, from small to big, they were all created in this big vacuum, which we call the universe. V'zeh ha'chalal, nikra b'svam ha'kadoshim, chalal ha'panoi. The term used is the empty vacuum, or the empty cavity, the empty hole. That's Chal HaPanoi, is this space that Hashem created by removing himself. Oh, other places called it Tihiru Ilah. Tihira, we know, is a lashon of Tahor, pure, but also means an area that's empty. If you look at the footnote Yud Beis on this page, you might have different footnotes, but it's called Tihiru Ilah. Perish Belashon Targum, the Aramaic translation is Makum Panoi, which means Taru means empty area. Not pure, but empty. And he brings a raya, Kimo Taro Shemizbeach. When it comes to the Yom Kippur, the Avodah Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol takes the blood and sprinkles it on the top of the Mizbeach, which is called Tihara Shemizbeach, the empty area of the Mizbeach. So that's just a Aramaic term of Chala Panoi is Hebrew, and Tehiru Ilah is the Aramaic of the same concept. He does actually, it's interesting, along the way he leaves some like nice ideas, nice yisodos along the way. He has here in this next paragraph the difference between Lashon Kodesh and Targum. The idea being that this is just a nice thing to have in the back of your mind. Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh is Chesed, and Targum is Din. Targum is where the word's a little bit trickier, harder to understand. So that's called Targum. That's just the many differences in Halacha, which go back to that point of reading the Psukim Lashon Kodesh versus reading the Targum. One difference that brings this out is we read Trup. Ideally, one should read the Pasuk with Trup. But we don't read the Targum of Trup. Dafka shouldn't read the Targum of Trup. You should just say the Targum. The reason being because since Lashon Kodesh is Chesed, it's happy, it's singing, so we sing the Trup, the Pasuk, but the Targum is Din. We don't want to sing Din at all, therefore it's a drier type of learning. But that's an important yisod to have in mind, Lashon Hebrew versus Targum. Targum is always called something negative. It's always some type of Din and punishment associated with Targum.
Assuming that the Targum was given on Sinai
He doesn't elaborate this, but we have the Masorah from the Gemara Megillah that it did come from Sinai. It was forgotten, and Targum refound it, the Gemara tells us. But yeah, it dates back to Sinai. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's finish this paragraph, these brackets now, and then I guess time to daven. Lachain. Nikra Kadosh Baruch Hu b'tar Makom. Hashem's called Makom. That's one of the words we say. Hamakom Yinachem is that. Makom is Hashem's another word for Hashem. Kimo Shekineu. Kineu is a Chazal that the Chachamim gave like a nickname for Hashem. B'shem Mekomol Shel Olam Al Shem She'asa Makom Panu. Why is he called Makom? We think because he exists everywhere. He's in every place, and even in the hardest of times, Hamakom Yinachem. Even when a person's going through a velus, Hashem is there with us. That's one pshat. But he says also because Hashem created the Makom Panoi. He created that area, Lebrias Olamos, Be'etzem, Oro, Kivyachol. He allowed the Makom, the world, to be created by removing himself from it. That's another reason why Hashem is called Makom as well. Okay, so we'll stop here. Mirat Hashem will pick up next Tuesday. We'll finish.